following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The following may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode one of A Worthy Opponent, the podcast based on the new Blizzard game Hearthstone, now in beta. My name is Blacklace.
And I am Autumnsbane. Thank you all for being with us for our first episode. We're going to start slow because it's in beta and many of you are not playing yet. So rather than get into a podcast full of expert advice, we're going to start out for the beginners, and as we grow and learn, then we will get into more in-depth stuff in future episodes.
Before we actually start, we want to give everybody a little idea of what we have and what we're bringing to the table here. And table as in tabletop and MMO, all different types of games we have played in the past.
Yeah, we grew up playing the old-style computer games, Pong and Space Invaders, moved on to RPGs like D&D and Changeling and Vampire, the White Wolf games, and then MMOs and like Sierra Online, Ultima Online, EverQuest, WoW, Star Wars. What else, Blacklace?
We've played Rift, we've played Terra. I kind of zipped into the secret world for quite a few months, and then I got sucked back into World of Warcraft.
Yeah, we played Neverwinter Nights and Lord of the Rings, Dungeons & Dragons Online, DC Universe Online, quite a lot of MMOs. And what's great about Hearthstone is it sort of brings in all of the games together. It's a computer game, right, Blacklace?
Yep, it's a computer game, but it plays like a tabletop game. If people are familiar with the trading card games, that's pretty much what this is, except you don't trade.
Right, so it's a computer game, it's a role-playing game, it's based on World of Warcraft, so it's like an MMO in some ways. You know, it's funny we're starting this podcast at this time because it was 20 years ago that Richard Garfield invented Magic the Gathering, which is the very first trading card game, and he had a hard time selling it, and now it's this huge phenomenon. There's so many other games, too.
It's kind of funny how a lot of that happens. Somebody will be starting something which is a phenomenal idea. He'll take it to three or four different people who think it is just worthless. And then all of a sudden, one person will promote it and it strikes gold and it changes the way that things are played. That's pretty much what Magic the Gathering did with card games. And we have to talk about that. Just like when people are talking about the MMOs, you're in a different MMO and you always talk about Blizzard. Well, I think with the card games, you're going to be playing card games, but you're always going to wind up going that little bit back to Magic the Gathering because they kind of started it all.
Yeah, and Blizzard, of course, makes phenomenal products. StarCraft, Warcraft, Diablo, and this game is no exception. This is no slouch in the card game genre. Wyvern, Guardians, X-Files, Vampire, Illuminati, Middle-Earth, The Wizards, Pokemon, Xena, Hercules. I mean, countless card games over the years. And Magic the Gathering's 20 years old. We got our first beta packs when it first started 20 years ago. And it's even
gone... Okay, now you're dating us.
Yes, I am. We're dating ourselves. We've been together a long time. But we've been playing all that time, and we've seen it evolve. And even Magic the Gathering had its computer version. I've played them both, the new one for the iPad as well as the one for the traditional computer. And they just don't compare with Hearthstone, because Hearthstone was designed as a card game for the computer, not a card game that they tried to fit into the computer.
I also like the fact that it's a little bit multifaceted. You can actually play this game. You can play Hearthstone without knowing anything about World of Warcraft. But if you're a World of Warcraft player and you're playing this game, it's got so much lore and history in it, it's going to sweep you away. And unlike the trading card game that Blizzard did before, they're not going to give you, here's a free card that's going to give you an in-game trinket, it's going to give you an in-game toy, it's going to give you an in-game pet. They're not doing that. This is standalone. This is on its own and in its own right.
Well, we don't know for sure that they're not going to do that. They do have promo cards, and I think a lot of people are hoping we're going to get some of those vanity pets or mounts or things in the future. They might still do that. BlizzCon's coming up, and if you are going to BlizzCon or if you do the virtual BlizzCon, you get a goodie bag, and there will be a card for this game in there, just like there are things for all the other games.
Right. I'm just thinking it would be really nice to see a game that doesn't give to somebody who plays Warcraft, and I play Warcraft. I just always say, oh, they got that because of the trading card game. I don't play the trading card game. I never have a hope to get that. Kind of like the idea that this hasn't done that yet.
Not yet. It's a lot of other things this will be doing. You know, we mentioned BlizzCon. I don't know. I'm sure there are people listening who are either going or going virtually. It's exciting that this year they're going to actually have an invitational competition. I don't think there are any grand prizes or anything, but they're taking some of the best players in the world from the beta community and pitting them against each other. So people will get to see for the first time professional level playing at BlizzCon, and I'm looking forward to that. What about you?
I think it completely blew my mind to find out somebody actually had a supporter. I forgot who was it. It wasn't Nike, but it was somebody big.
No, I think his name was
somebody.
Trump.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, and he's actually got a sponsor, someone paying him to play.
Yeah, and that's phenomenal for a game that's still in beta. But let's start talking about the game. It's a collectible trading card game. It's for Windows and Macintosh. Eventually, it's going to be released for the iPad. I play on the Galaxy tablet. I'm kind of hoping it's going to go to that, too. It's free to play with the purchase of the original.
We'll get more on what costs there are, but you can play completely for free. You never have to spend a penny to play this game and enjoy it. It's taken from the world of Warcraft, so if you've played the strategy game Warcraft or the MMO World of Warcraft, you're going to be familiar with these characters and these terms, and there's a strong connection between the two of them. But they stand alone. You don't ever have to play an MMO or Warcraft to love this game.
Another thing I like is it's a collectible card game. It's not a trading card game. I'm hoping they never go the trading card route. That way we can never buy a really good card on eBay. I know there are people out there who are going to say, oh, come on, Black Lace. We want to buy these cards on eBay. We want to really pump our decks. I kind of like the idea that you can go ahead and make your decks and make it powerful without actually going off and buying other people's cards. I like the idea that what you get is what you get.
And stacking the deck like people did in Magic the Gathering is not really possible. There are 381 cards that 381st card is a gift card for people who play beta and try out the store. But otherwise, 380 cards, everyone who gets packs has the same chance of getting those cards. There's a limit of only two cards of the same type per deck, or one legendary, so you cannot stack the really great cards. And I've seen people beat other people with these starter decks playing against people with a lot of money invested, so it's not so much play to win, although I think at higher levels it could certainly turn out to be that way.
Yeah, I've seen Murloc decks, we'll talk about those later. They kind of remind me of the old Sliver decks, but again, you can't really stack them as you could with some of the other games. You can. I just today unwrapped a couple of pirate cards, so I'm thinking eventually I'm hoping to win enough cards that I can make a little pirate deck.
Yeah, the design is incredible, with 9 different character classes which have heavy impact on the strategy and how the deck is played. There's something for everyone. It's still a two-player game. I don't see them ever changing from that. In other card games, when you're sitting around the table with your friends, you can expand the game and make multiplayer games. This is just two, but there are multiple ways to play two people. And the tutorial at the very beginning of the game walks you through it. You don't walk in blind. They walk you through it with nice narration. The voices that go through the tutorial are the same voices you're familiar with if you play World of Warcraft. It's actually the dwarf voice that does most of it. But Jaina Proudmoore is involved, and the
Illidan.
Actress. Yep, Illidan is in there.
Yep.
Garrosh. There are a lot of characters in there. We could talk more about the individual characters later. But it's very exciting to play, especially for World of Warcraft fans.
Yep, and when you start the game, you start, as Autumn's Bane has said, with a tutorial that walks you through. You start playing Jaina Proudmoore, so you're a mage deck, and then the first you're just going to play a couple of cards against each other. Little by little, they introduce all of the mechanics. You wind up playing, I think, probably about 8 or 9 different characters. Unfortunately, these characters aren't characters you can grab later. I mean, I would love to play Hogger. And you fight Hogger, and you fight Illidan, but they are not characters that you play once you actually start the main game.
No, they've limited it to 9 character classes, and there is a deck design or multiple designs that are thematic to those 9 character classes. And I see in the future, just like with any other collectible card game, there will be expansions, there will be more cards, there will be themes. The latest expansion to World of Warcraft, Missa Pandaria, is not in the game, although there is one board face that is designed like Pandaria.
There are a couple of Pandarian in the game, but of the major characters, they're not. They don't have the monk there yet. They don't have the Death Knight yet. What they have are the hunter, the mage, the priest, the paladin, the druid, the shaman, the rogue, the warlock, and the warrior. But they don't have the Death Knight, and they don't have the monk. So that to me says expansion.
Yep, those will be coming, I'm sure. So after you're done with the tutorial, you get to start playing, and there are really 3 ways to play the game. They give you a practice mode, and you can just practice against the artificial intelligence of the computer, and it's actually smarter than the AI is in most games. You're not going to just slam dunk it. They're going to kick your butt.
Yeah, it's not a cakewalk. I had quite a lot to say about some of the weaker decks, and there are stronger and there are weaker decks.
And the decks are supposed to have 30 cards. When you're going through the tutorial, you don't have a full set of 30 cards. You earn more cards as you go. So as you learn how to play with what you have, they throw in more cards, and then you learn how to play those.
So you're telling our players that they're not playing with a full deck.
Exactly. Well, I know I'm not. I don't know about the players out in our audience, but certainly you don't start playing with a full deck. And I kind of like the idea that I only have a handful of cards to try to figure out at first, and they come on slowly. And your characters that you play, the heroes they call them, the heroes go up in level. And as you work your way up by level 10, you've gotten your entire basic set. And by level 10, you should be able to go out and play other people and actually have a chance of winning.
Yeah, actually, and at level 10, each few levels at the very beginning gives you additional cards to put into your collection. And then after that, at like level 15, a nice thing is they give you one of the cards you've already been playing, but they give it to you with a gold border. So just little kind of tweaks and perks throughout the game make it a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, the gold border cards are sort of like the old holographic cards with physical card games, only these are animated. That's the wonderful thing about this game. Everything's animated. It has sounds and sound effects. You play minion cards and they say things to you like you would expect the character to play, speak to you in the game. Very, very fun.
I was going to say, let's start actually talking about the game. There are the different levels of play are practice, player, which is player versus player, and arena, which is another form of player versus player. So practice your fighting the UI, and the UI is...
The AI.
Very AI, right? AI, UI.
Sometimes you're fighting with the UI, too.
But. Yeah, that too. The AI is pretty intelligent, and it can kick your butt, so don't think it's, you know, just going to be go in there and win. It does really challenge you. The next thing is player versus player, which is basically you against somebody else.
Or constructed play is what most people call
play.
It. Because that's where you get to make your decks and play against each other.
Or you can actually use the starter decks if you feel comfortable at the beginning. Then you start tweaking it along the way. Arena is a completely different step out. Arena is a game where you play somebody else. You have no idea what class you're going to play. It gives you a choice of three random classes. You choose the class you want, and then they'll show you three cards. You pick one. Three more cards, you pick one, all the way until you have a 30-card deck. So you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to play until it actually starts, and then it goes from there. And the other person is exactly the same. So you can't play a stacked deck in Arena.
Nope, you can't buy your way to victory in Arena. But don't try it too soon, because I did maybe half the tutorial and I said, oh, let me try this Arena, it sounds fun, and I had no idea what the cards were, I was not proficient with all the classes, and I just got my butt handed to me. Now, you're allowed to play over and over again until you rack up 3 losses or 7 wins. And 3 losses come a lot faster than 7 wins, believe me, beginning.
As you found out last night, you don't want to start when you only have a limited amount of time, because in Arena you have to play till you're done. So if you're planning on playing Arena for a few minutes and then going and having dinner and coming back to it, your game is over. It's just, it'll end. You want to make sure you allot yourself the time to play it. Whereas if you're playing normal games, you can play one game, walk away from the computer, and do anything else, and you literally can play a 15-minute game and not be locked into your seat for hours.
There's a lot more at stake in an arena game because you're paying to play. The constructed play, you just play, and you can earn gold to buy more cards or to play arena. It costs 100 gold to buy a pack of 5 cards, which are guaranteed to have a rare in it or better, but it costs 150 gold coins to play in arena, or $1.99. You can pay cash and play. The problem is now in the beta is if you DC, if the server goes down, if anything goes wrong, if you time out, you've lost, and some people on the forums are complaining that they're losing money.
And that's what beta's all about. They're trying to iron everything out, and they've been doing a great job, but we're still running into snags. Like one I can think of is when you're playing the cards, all of a sudden you'll see a hole where your card is supposed to be, and then the card that you want may be off on the right, and you may draw another card and it'll go right on top of it, and then you can't get to the card underneath. These are all things that people are experiencing, or the card will just show up face down in the middle of the playing field and won't go away for a while. Just silly little glitches like that, but they're still working them out.
Yeah, people are hoping it goes live real soon, but you know, like any beta, there needs to be a time period, and Blizzard's policy is not to release a game until it's ready, and people saying, oh, it's ready. It's not ready. If I target my opponent's minion and it misses the minion and hits the opponent, or if the graphics for my mana crystals are all screwed up, these are not things that make the game ready, but they're very close. This is a pretty polished game, except for a few bugs, and I'm guessing that we're going to see it released very soon, maybe even at BlizzCon on November 8th.
Yeah. Talking about the cards themselves, the cards are basically very much like you would find things out in the wilds of Orgrimmar or wherever you kind of wander. You can get commons, uncommons, you can get epics, you can even get legendaries.
And the basic cards have no sort of symbols to tell you their rarity. But once you get into what they call the expert level of cards, you'll start to see little colored gems on them. And the colored gems, as Black Lace was saying, delineate the types of cards they are. There's a white gem that's an uncommon. There's a blue gem for a rare, purple for the epic. And epics, you're not guaranteed to get an epic every time you open a pack, although you are guaranteed to get a rare. And then there's orange, which is legendary. I bought 40 packs. They have a bulk purchase thing, so it's like, I think it was something like $50 for 40 packs, and then 40 packs I got two legendaries. So that's probably pretty typical from what I've heard from other people. So one legendary in 20 packs, and that's 100 cards. So what's that, 10% chance?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, 1% chance?
1%.
1% chance to get legendary sounds fair to me.
Yeah, and then again, you don't have to buy your cards. The nice thing about this game is you are getting gold just by playing. If you win three games, and it doesn't mean three games in a row, if you're like me and I've been losing, I think, two out of every five games because I've just not been having a lot of luck. Even though I am only winning two out of five games, when I win that third game, I'm getting 10 gold. They give you daily quests to do. Sometimes they're two out of two. Sometimes they're five out of five. If it's a two out of two, you get 40 gold. If it's a five out of five, you get 60 gold. So in a couple days, you can earn enough gold to either buy an arena or buy a deck of cards, which is five cards.
Yeah, the daily quests are something that they've recently tweaked also. Before the big recent patch, you got one quest to win two games of a class, and if you didn't like that class or you were not proficient with it, you were pretty much screwed.
Yeah, there were a lot of complaints. There were a lot of complaints in the forum because I personally, there are some of the classes I don't like playing. I don't like playing the priest, which is completely opposite of what I play in World of Warcraft. I don't like the priest. I feel it's very weak. It's still after the wipe, it's still a bit weak. But if you got the quest to play that priest, you had to play it until it was done. You were not able to just give up that quest and pick another quest the next day. It would stay in your bag. After the wipe, they tweaked it a little bit, so now you play maybe a priest or a warlock or a priest or a paladin. So you have a chance of playing another class that maybe you don't hate quite so much.
Yeah, so it stinks when you get two classes you don't really like. But it's fun when you get two that you do like, and you just get to pick the one you're really good at. I happen to like the Hunter the best, but I play a Hunter in World of Warcraft, and I used to play the green decks in Magic the Gathering. These, you'll see themes that you've encountered over the years if you're a trading card player over time. Magic the Gathering had everything broken down into five colors, and each one was thematic. And Hearthstone has nine different breakdowns, and some of them are very close matches if you wanted to compare it to Magic the Gathering. The Hunter, green, the Warlock, black. The Priest is kind of a cross between white and blue, wouldn't you say, Black Lace?
Yeah, it's very, very, very heal me, heal me, heal me, and not as much. It's keep yourself alive and slowly whittle down your opponent, but
taking control of other people's cards is what I was getting at.
Yeah, that too, but they've also recently tweaked it so that you can create your deck in more of a Shadow Priest, so that you can turn your cards, instead of having them be healy, you can suddenly have all your cards dealing damage, which is a nice little twist.
Yep, very fun for those Warcraft players who hate healing and want to do some damage. They have that option with the priest even in this game.
Let's talk a little bit about the game itself. The actual, and I'll get it right this time, the UI. These are things that when we first started, we wished people had told us. One of the things, simply how to concede. I would play and play and play, and I'd be like, okay, I need to actually, the dogs are barking, she really has to go out. I need to get up and leave, but I couldn't do that because somebody is sitting there. I don't want them to, and you don't have the ability to say, I'll be back in 5 minutes, going to take a break. You have a few very limited messages you can send your opponent. Off on the right-hand side, there is a little wheel. If you right-click on it, it gives you the ability to do things. One of them is concede. I actually had to go to the forums because, believe it or not, some of these things just seem invisible when you're trying to figure out where they are.
Yeah, trying to get around from screen to screen is a little difficult. Some screens have little X's at the top that you can X out, and others you just have to hit escape or click elsewhere on the board to make them go away. And there's the tutorial is phenomenal in terms of gameplay and the theme and how things work, but it's the nuances that you have to just play by experience, and you can make some pretty big mistakes in gameplay when you don't realize things. For example, in Magic the Gathering, everything you did was a spell. If you called out a creature, that was a spell. In this game, summoning a minion is not considered a spell. So if you play a card that says, you know, your next spell costs 3 less mana, and you try to summon a minion, nope, sorry, it doesn't work that way. So yeah. That's another reason I say don't go into Arena until you're really familiar with the game mechanics.
And you also, you want to be, even the ones you don't like, you want to be familiar with all the different decks at least a little bit, because you may wind up getting your 3 least favorite decks or 3 least played decks as your options in an Arena game, and you're going to have an idea of what their capabilities are, because each of them are tailored. Each and in further episodes of Worthy Opponent, we're planning on giving you ideas of the nuances of each character. But right now, basically, we're just going to give you a quick overview of the game itself.
The little things to watch out for, whether you're new to this or hoping to be new soon, or even if you've been around, some of these things can be surprising, like the daily quests. They're not just daily. If you don't finish it today, you can finish it tomorrow.
Yep, and they actually add up. You can actually have 3 dailies in your quest log. And I don't know if it was a glitch or not, but at one point I had been unable to play for almost a week, and I finished my 3 dailies and another one popped up. So I'm not sure if it was just hiding in the background or if it was a mistake that they will be fixing. But you definitely have pretty much 3 bags of dailies that you can do every day.
And the interface will show you up to 3 quests at a time, although there seems to be a perpetual quest going as well. Every time you get 3 victories, it's like you've just completed a quest.
And also, you do get achievements. When you first get to level 10, you get an achievement. I think you get some extra gold for that. When you get all of your characters to level 10, you get an achievement. I think you get extra gold for that too. So there are a lot of things we're finding out as we're playing that just appear on the screen.
Although I've yet to find a place where achievements show up.
That's true. That's kind of... I was just playing today trying to figure out exactly where it is. I could see how many wins I've got. And the nice thing is it shows you how many times you've won. I actually would like to see how many times I've lost. I'd like to be able to compare a win and lose ratio, and that's not available yet. I wonder if they're going to do that.
Well, I think Blizzard is trying to keep things upbeat, because at some point, you'll probably be able to look and see how many wins a person has. I don't know if you want to announce to the world how many times you've lost.
That's true. Oh, and speaking of that, there's also, they do keep it balanced in, you are going to play somebody that's pretty much of the level you are. Now, this doesn't mean that their cards and your cards are going to be matched, or that they've lost as many as you've lost, or they've won as many as you've won. It's level-based. That's what I've been able to figure out, because I have gone in there with a level 10 against another level 10, and I had the basic deck, and I got just pinged to death with legendary cards. So it's when they say that you're going to be playing a balanced person against you, they're talking level, they're not talking decks.
Yeah, but I don't think they're talking the character level, unless you mean by level the rank. There are ranks that you achieve. You start off at copper, I believe, in the constructed. Right now, I'm at a 3-star silver. I won my 100th game today. And the next thing is 1-star gold. So they go through the medals and they increase them and they give you stars. I think the highest level is like a grandmaster. So I think that's where they group you up, where you are on that scale.
Good point. And they
separate the constructed deck wins from the arena wins. I have exactly 2 arena wins, and it was enough to get me from novice to apprentice or journeyman or whatever it is. I'll pay more attention to that when I'm actually playing arena more. Right now I'm enjoying the constructed decks better. But the people I'm playing are pretty well matched, except it was a little tough at the very beginning when your character wasn't even level 10 and you only had half a deck and you were playing people who had two or three legendaries in their deck and they were just stomping all over you. So it's not always quite so even in the constructed, but as you said before, Blacklaze, there's no way to have an advantage when you're in Arena.
Right. That's true. That's true. But it's definitely a fun game. We are actually asking people who are listening to this podcast who maybe aren't in beta, have maybe listened to other podcasts that are giving more of the in-depth information that we're trying to keep this low-key right now because a lot of people are not quite there yet. We're asking you to send us your questions. We'll give at the end of the show, we're going to give you our contact information. We'd love to hear from you, love to hear your feedback. And if you've got questions, we actually have a question already. Autumn, I'll let you had this one.
Yeah, I got a letter from a friend who heard that we were doing this podcast, and he asked the following questions. He says, is Hearthstone a social game? Actually, I'll break his letter up into the individual questions. So, what do you say, Blacklace? Is Hearthstone a social game? This is the other thing he said about it. He says, when you play with other people, is there a chat? Do folks use the chat, or is it just like looking for Raid and WoW, where people are just using other people as game pieces rather than human beings? What's your take on that?
It depends on who you're playing. I've got some people who, when you have a very limited vocabulary in chat, let me say that first. There is not really a chat. There are about six things you could say to somebody. You can greet them. You can say well done. You can threaten them. I don't have them all notated.
There's oops.
I wish there was a wake up button because sometimes people just forget that their turn is over and they don't hit the button to switch it over to your turn. And you're just like, you know, you're still out there. Hit your button.
But
you're not, you cannot
the game,
type these things.
Fortunately, the turn is timed. After
yes,
a while,
it will blow up on you.
A fuse starts burning across the screen, and you have until it blows up at the end to actually take your turn.
And
sometimes that seems to go forever.
Yes, but you can talk to somebody. When they do a good turn, you can tell them well done, and then the other person can say thank you. You greet them when they first come. So I've had somebody that I've greeted, they've greeted me. I've well done them, they've thanked me, they've well done me, I've thanked them, and chat and chat, and then at the very end you say well done, and it's almost like a mini language with very, very, very limited vocabulary. Or then you get the people who are on the other side of your question, where folks are a game piece. They don't even bother saying hi to you, they don't talk to you, they come in, they blow you away, or they get blown away, or we ping each other to death, but never a comment between the two, even if you say hello. So it's kind of social if the person wants it to be. It's kind of not if they don't want it to be. And it's very, very limited vocabulary.
My suspicion is that Blizzard doesn't want an actual chat so that people don't troll each other, they don't start fights, they don't start swearing at each other and calling each other names, and then the next progression would be that they go to the forums and end up taking the fight there in public.
Right.
This limited amount of chat actually makes it less of a threat to people who like to be private and anonymous. One of the cool things about that is if you have a person like I had today who just kept saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you over and over. He was spamming thank you. There's a little squelch button. If you right click on your opponent's icon, and you can see the word squelch, and you hit that and those emotes stop coming.
So, and to talk, here's another thing for your really basic. I didn't know at first how to talk. You right click on your character, then your options to say something come up. I was looking all the way around the bottom trying to figure out how do I talk to somebody, and I couldn't figure it out. And then when I clicked on their portrait, it said squelch, and I'm like, what the heck is squelch? Then I realized, as Autumn's Bane has said, that that can stop you from hearing all their comments. Because there is also a threaten button, and somebody could be really annoying and just spamming that. You can quiet them down. So, yes, it's a social game. yes, it kind of has chat, but it really isn't necessarily. Now, his next question, Autumn, I'll let you take this, was, I imagine price will be a factor as well as availability or rarity.
Well, that, again, we already got into. In Arena, it's not an issue. Doesn't matter if you've bought cards for your constructed decks or not, you're not going to have your wide variety of all 381 cards available in an arena. It's a draft, you pick the cards wisely, and you play. But you can read something into that. A person who has bought all the cards and knows every card in the game might be better equipped to figure out which cards are good, which cards are bad, or let me wait and see if this really essential card shows up, versus the person who's only played with a handful of 50 cards. So money matters to some degree, but I've been on both sides of that in gameplay. I have beaten people with rares and epics and legendaries out the wazoo, and I just annihilated them, and I've been annihilated by that same type of player. So it can go either way. It's sort of like playing any game. You're going to get people who are skilled, people who have good equipment. You know, does somebody with a better tennis racket beat you at tennis? It's hard to say. So, I'd say there's probably a little bit of both sides to that for the answer to that question.
Right. And even with the price being a factor, again, you can get, you can just keep saving your gold and buying your packs that way and buying your arena that way, or you can go right back into the interface with Blizzard, into the store, buy it with real cash. That they have a really nice setup where it's already linked to, if you are paying monthly on Blizzard and they're automatically deducting it from your credit card, it will automatically deduct the amount of decks you want to buy right from your credit card. You don't have to go scrounging for your credit card and find the 3-digit number on the back of the card and all that. It's already in there. They already know it. There is an authenticator the first time you log in. They have their own little, what would you call that, interface on the computer that's actually really nice that they're testing as well right now.
And buying those cards is really fun. One of the things we loved when we used to collect trading cards was getting that package, ripping it open like Christmas morning, and you're looking for the cards. Oh, look at what my rare is. Well, they have really awesome animation. The card graphic, the deck graphic, is like this nice leather wallet, and it's
beautiful.
In 3D, and then you put it in the middle and it sort of explodes, and then the cards scatter across the screen and you can mouse over them. And if it's just a regular common card, nothing happens. But if you mouse over a rare, it glows blue around the edge. If you mouse over an epic, it glows purple. And if you mouse over a legendary, it's an orange.
And that's usually when I start screaming, Autumn's Bane, come here, let me open it. I want you to see this.
Now,
it's
I
awesome.
Already said I got 2 legendaries from buying 50 packs. Black Lace has much better luck than me. Without spending any money, she won a few games. She said, let me spend 100 gold on a pack. And she called me and she says, watch what I'm going to get. And she got 2 rares, an epic, and a legendary, and only 1 uncommon card in a 5-card pack.
Mind you, that doesn't happen often, but it can happen. I was pretty excited, yes. But of course, it was, I believe it was Druid, which is another one I don't play, but still, it was nice. Oh, which, to let people know, there are other things we have not gone into in this show that we will cover later. You can only have 2 of each card in a deck. By having it virtual, you can take those 2 cards and have those 2 cards in every deck. So, okay, well, what happens, Lacey, if I get a 3rd card like that? Autumn, what happens if I get that 3rd card? I don't need it.
Well, that's where World of Warcraft comes in again. People who have played World of Warcraft and other MMOs know that there are things called enchanters. And enchanting is a skill where you disenchant your treasure that you don't want or need, and it makes materials that you could turn into something useful. Well, Blizzard has taken that concept, and they've used it listed for the cards. So if you have more than two of a card, you'll never use that extra. Like, I was playing Magic, I'd have 10 of a card. Okay, 2 would go in this deck, 4 would go in that deck. They didn't go to waste, they got spread around. But I only ever need the 2, even if I use those 2 cards in every single deck. So what do you do with the extras? You disenchant them, and it makes materials. What do you do with those materials, Black Lace?
Well, you take the materials, which are dust, and they show a cute little graphic of a little vial with light blue powder in it. You pick a card that you already have, and depending on the rarity of the card, you can create a second one of that. Now, this can go all the way up to legendary, but mind you, you need thousands of dust if you're going to recreate a legendary. So it's not as simple as just recreating a card. You need more based on how good your card is.
And unless I'm mistaken, you can only have one of a specific legendary in your deck. You can have every legendary in your deck, but I think you're only permitted to have one of each type. And that might be new. I don't think that was that way at the beginning. I guess I'll have to check my facts on that, but
yeah,
I thought I read that today.
I'm not sure about that. That might be something new. It would kind of be odd to have 2 Deathwings. Oh, yes, and
yeah.
We've had Deathwing experiences.
So the legendary cards are a subject for another day, but believe me when I say they're legendary, because everything in this game has sound effects, even the emotes we were talking about. So, you know, you might get a paladin or something who concedes and his voice has honor in it because it's Uther Lightbringer, but then the rogue, when she quits, she's kind of like, I quit, and she's all snippy, and she just storms off. So don't read too much into the emotes. It's all in roleplay.
Yep, and again, the classes, we have Rexxar as the hunter. Jaina Proudmoore is our mage. Anduin, of course, is the priest. And as Autumn has said, Uther's the paladin.
And Malfurion Stormrage plays the druid. Just a little side note. There are lots of little things in this game that if you play Warcraft, you're going to get a kick out of, especially if you are into the lore. I was playing Illidan Stormrage, the brother of Malfurion Stormrage, who is the druid hero, and whenever I play Illidan, he goes, "You are not prepared," like the actor did in the Burning Crusade expansion. But when I call him out against the druid, he goes, "Hello, brother." And so the fact that they think of these nuances and throw them in the game are really exciting to me. And maybe that would go over most people's head, but I was really excited. But of course, the shaman is Thrall, and the warlock is Gul'dan. The warrior is Garrosh Hellscream, and a lesser-known character to many, except those who are really deep into comics and lore, is the rogue Valyra Sanguinar. But these 9 classes are played by these 9 characters, and these heroes are going to stay the way they are. Don't think that you can go and change your mage to a different mage. Blizzard's already said in a recent question and answer session that they're planning on keeping them just the way they are.
They have the sound effects of these people, as Autumn said. Jaina is going to have her little comments throughout, and as Malfurion and Illidan, the little comments between the two, I'm sure there are others that will do that. And if you were able to change the priest Anduin to, say Tyrand, she wouldn't have the same interaction and it would change things up. So they're not going to allow. I wouldn't mind being female, playing a female priestess, but I will be playing Anduin if I decide to play a priest. So yes, we are stuck with, and I shouldn't say stuck with, but we have to stay with the characters they have chosen for us. It would be nice to switch it out, but they are not likely to let us do that.
Yeah, well, if you're worried about the gender, you know, you might see a lot of female characters in World of Warcraft, but only 2 of the 9 hero classes are female. Sorry, ladies.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're pretty much running out of time here. that hour went by pretty quickly. I'm real excited to have done this first podcast with you, Blacklace.
Same here.
Is my wife, by the way. so we are we play these games together all the time. But Blacklace, why don't you tell people how they can reach us if they want to in the future?
Well, we do have our Twitter is Worthy Opponent, and we do have a web. We have a Gmail account, which is awohearthstone@gmail.com. You could reach us there. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Again, this is our first show, so a little bit of stumbling. Sorry about that. But we're hoping that we've given you a little bit of an idea, those people who have not played the game and really would like to know just a little bit more about how to start and what it's about. Hoping that we've given that information to you. We will get more in-depth as we progress.
Yeah, our podcast will increase with our skill and experience.
Or maybe the podcast may exceed the skill, but we shall see.
Yeah, we'll see. But this has been fun. We'd love to hear from you. Eventually, we'll be available on iTunes. I want to thank the producers of this program, Xander over at Holosuite Media. I want to thank Blizzard. You know, these podcasts about Blizzard products, they never really thank Blizzard.
Right.
Without them, we wouldn't be here. And something I didn't mention earlier, when you download Hearthstone, you get a brand new interface that lets you play all of their games from a single screen. World of Warcraft, Diablo, StarCraft, and... Hearthstone. So I hope you guys get the beta keys if you haven't already, and they're coming more and more soon. Everybody who wants to play, I hope, will be playing, and soon we'll be available on iTunes. And if you like us, leave us a review. If you don't like us, then well, I'm sorry, we'll do better. But let us know
exactly.
By email or by Twitter. Anything else to say before we go, Blacklace?
No. Thank you all very much for listening, and happy hearthing.
Happy hearthing.
Broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.